Well, imagine one day you go to your mailbox and there you find an invitation from God. Now, if it was my daughter, it would be a rose gold envelope and glittery gold letters. Those of you who know my daughter know exactly what I'm saying. The next day, another one comes. And after that, one comes every day. Will this invitation from God animate your life? Or will you begin to take it for granted? Or even worse, will you begin to resent the reminder and treat it like a piece of junk mail? What does the invitation say? The invitation has that beautiful verse from today's first reading. You shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people. You can be God's special possession. Now, we might attempt to evade the consequences of that invitation because we know our unworthiness. We do not deserve to be considered God's special possession. But guess what? Nobody understands that better than God. We heard in the second reading, Christ, while we were still helpless, while we were helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. That's why he says to the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself. God knows that we are unworthy and incapable, and so he does what we cannot do. None of us, not even the most holy person you know, not even the Blessed Virgin Mary, can go to God on their own. God must come down to us. It's such an amazing gift that St. Paul goes on and says, we boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom we have received reconciliation. We boast because we have a God who loves us enough to become one of us, to suffer and die for us. But after God does what only he can do, he expects us to do what we can do. And I think this is the second reason why we want to excuse ourselves from the invitation. That God gives us intellect and free will so that we can become true participants in his great work of salvation, not idle spectators. How can we become God's special possession? He tells us in the first reading, it comes in two parts. If you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant. It's not enough to hear Jesus' teachings and witness his miracles. Recall how shortly after curing many illnesses and feeding over 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish, almost all of those people walked away from Jesus when he told them that they had to eat his body and drink his blood to have eternal life. Signs and wonders help us develop our faith, but they don't eliminate the need for it. When the apostles went out and they were performing miracles, it said, raise the dead. I assume they were raising the dead. It helped open people's hearts to the gospel. But in some cases, it was not enough. At some point, to be his special possession, we must hearken to his voice and keep his covenant. And when I think of the idea of the covenant, various things can come to mind. But, I think of the law given by Moses. I think of the teachings of the church handed down through the centuries. Those truths that we express in the creed. All of those aspects of being in relationship with God that apply to all of us. The Ten Commandments are the first example that comes to mind for most people that God gave to everyone. But he also gave guidelines to Israel on how to treat the poor, the stranger, the widow, and the outcast. And the covenant also includes truths even more fundamental than that. The first covenant God made with man was in the Garden of Eden. He gave Adam and Eve three gifts to cherish and defend: life, marriage, and being made male and female. And so if we're to keep God's covenant, it involves us loving all of those people around us, especially those on the margins of society, while at the same time treasuring the gift of human life at all stages, defending the sanctity of marriage as God created it, and safeguarding that we are made in His image as male and female. So to be God's special possession, we must first keep His covenant. Then there's the second part, because keeping God's covenant prepares our soul for something even more. To be God's special possession, we must hearken to His voice. This is what God is saying specifically to you and to me. It's that intimate bond between two people, like a spouse or a close friend. God is speaking to me and to you personally. Why? Because just as there are some things that only God can do, so also God asks each of us to do something that only we can do. We each have a part in God's plan. What is your place? Through prayer and study and living in a community of believers, we can begin to hearken to God's voice. Through making sacrifices and serving those around us in the name of Christ, Jesus will begin to reveal things about Himself to you in a way that He has not revealed to others. Are we attentive? For example, when was the last time you spent time with Jesus in adoration in our chapel? Do you have a regular hour of adoration? If we want to live in God's friendship, if we want to be His special possession, then we have to choose that kind of one-on-one relationship with God. This is good news, but it's not a free lunch. In our first reading, God reminded the Israelites how He treated the Egyptians, afflicting their land with plagues and drowning their army in the Red Sea. Why did He do that? Because they would not respect His covenant, and they hardened their hearts to His voice. Through Moses, there were numerous signs and wonders, but they weren't enough. Will we keep God's commandment and hearken to His voice, or will we follow the way of the Egyptians? For those who are listening to the Catechism in a Year by Father Mike Schmitz, which I highly recommend, you'll recognize the following from his discussion on purgatory. He said, "We are either consciously choosing God and heaven, in other words, choosing to be His special possession, or we are drifting towards hell. At the end of time, there are only two states for ourselves, sharing in God's life with all those who we love who are in heaven, or everlasting suffering and loneliness. We will not accidentally find ourselves in heaven. It's not like we're going to wake up like, oh, how did I get here? Heaven is a conscious choice. Hell can be a choice, but it's also the result of laziness and neglect. God's desire for us is clear. He sends us an invitation every day. He wants you to be His special possession. The question today, though, is will your life choices reflect and communicate that same desire for a relationship with Him? Because if they do, you have a glorious future ahead of you.